Just give me the nod. Hello, I am Dr. Rosari Griffin, and this is an interview with Dr. Sabrina Kriebel. Dr. Sabrina Kriebel is the acting head of the History of Art at University College Cork in Ireland. We will be speaking to Dr. Sabrina Kriebel about her book, Revolutionary Beauty, which is the life of the artist John Hartfield. Hello, Sabrina. You're very welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Sabrina, you have written a very interesting book called Revolutionary Beauty, which is about the life of the artist John Hartfield. Will you tell us a little bit about this book and why it took your interest to focus it on this particular artist?
Yeah, so the book is primarily focused on the body of work he did in exile that was anti-Nazi. So he started producing these photo montages, were basically just cut and paste newspapers and photographs for a mass audience for a mass circulation magazine. And it was a magazine that was the second most popular in Germany at the time.
Okay,
And it was a kind of leftist alternative to the more mainstream things. But a lot of kind of lefty people read it. You know, it was a very popular magazine. So he made art, basically, using photography to try to awaken people to the impending presence of fascism in Germany. And so the book is really about thinking about his medium of photo montage and then looking very closely, almost year by year, at the ways in which his pictures would respond to history and the ways in which history, which was very dramatic at that time, history and pictures worked in tandem. Because we often think about art as being sort of outside of life, something that we do to kind of avoid life. And this was a form of intervention.
Right.
It was the combination of intervention and art and politics that interested me.
Okay, Sabrina. So let's go back to John himself, John Hartfield. Can you tell us a little bit about, I suppose, when he was born, his upbringing, a little kind of vignette of his life, and then how he became interested in, I suppose, these montages, which were anti-Nazi, essentially?
Yeah. It's an interesting life, and I think something of a sad one. So he was born in 1891. His father was a poet and who had to flee Germany at the time because his poetry was blasphemous. So they moved with their small but growing family to Switzerland. And the story is often masked, but basically Hartfield was abandoned by his parents, and there were four siblings left alone in the woods. What probably happened is both parents suffered from mental illness and were institutionalized. So Hartfield and his brother Hartfield's actual name, I should say, was Helmut Helzfede. And he takes up a pseudonym during World War I, and it's a British pseudonym to basically take position against German chauvinism against the British. So this is to sort of round out the being abandoned in Switzerland and then taking up this name. This is a personality who had to, in a sense, survive on the outskirts of German society. And took up the mantle of a kind of social resistance. And during this time, World War I was highly problematic on multiple levels. And so what he did was to create montages with his friends, other avant-garde artists in Germany in the 1920s, using mass media. So instead of making art with paint and sculpture and the kind of high art we understand art generally to be, he used everyday materials. And he and his fellow Dadaists, and the word Dada is a nonsense term, and it was an art movement that basically spread all over Europe in resistance to World War I. And it was a kind of picture making that overturned all of the pillars of high art, of beauty, of equilibrium, of aspiration. This was a kind of art that was about criticism, caricature, exaggeration, and a certain kind of illegibility.
Right.
That there was something about this art that was chaotic, and some of later, in hindsight, have called it sort of the punk of the 1920s.
Okay, so going back to John Hartfield again,
yeah,
he was originally born in Germany. The family fled to Switzerland,
yeah,
where he was brought up, but abandoned by his parents, who had mental health issues. And he then was more or less orphaned with his siblings. And then did they return to Germany at that point? Because obviously in the 20s, when he started doing his art, he was obviously in Germany again, surrounded by German artists. What happened during that transition phase from Switzerland? Did they return to Germany? And so how did he become involved in this artistic movement?
Yes. So basically what ended up happening, and I should sort of backtrack there, there was some sort of interlude in Switzerland, but then they end up in Austria. And then they move, yes, indeed. When the parents are in an institution, they go live with family members.
Right.
And eventually make their way back to Germany, the two brothers, Wieland and John Hartfield. And Hartfield starts to study advertising arts, mm-hmm. And graphic design. So, and his brother becomes a bookmaker. So basically they work in publishing and they return to Germany and find their footing in Germany.
I see. And do we know what happened to his other two siblings out of interest?
They sort of disappear from the story. So
okay.
The general narrative is of these two brothers sort of holding on to each other. John Hartfield was always the he was known as a choleric. He was very agitated. He was very responsive. They say he had red hair and it was that ginger personality, whereas the brother was the reasonable, calm one and sort of paved the way for Hartfield's later career, and the brother wrote a biography of him. And
I
in
see.
The story of the sisters, they just sort of disappear.
Okay.
They are indeed, lead lives of their own, but it's not properly historicized in the same way that these two men are. And it should be said that John Hartfield, then, he had a very checkered career after. So basically what happened is his pictures got him the attention of the Gestapo because they were anti-Nazi montages. He and his brother had to flee to Czechoslovakia.
Yes.
They lived in Czechoslovakia in exile and produced these montages for over a decade. And then he ended up in England. He had to flee because the Nazis were on his heels. And then when the war was over, he returned to East Germany. And then he was seen as sort of a non-person because he fled to the West, rather, instead of the East. And then he was considered potentially to be a spy. And then suddenly he was rehabilitated, and suddenly in the 60s and 70s and 80s, John Hartfield was the hero, the anti-fascist picture-making hero, and this story was spun by the brother. And I think it was also a part of a survival in the communist East. And so this was part of a bigger, heroic, anti-fascist, pro-communist narrative that worked its way well into the Cold War. So these are very deeply wrought and established histories of two artists, one a writer, a poet, and the other a pictorial artist. And so that is why, in a sense, the family history disappears at the expense of a kind of heroic narrative in the service of communism.
I see. And
yes.
Actually, that story has overtones of Van Gogh and his relationship with his brother Theo, where Theo was the person who supported Van Gogh for most of his life. And it seems that John Hartfield's brother, whose name I don't know.
Wieland.
Wieland, yeah. He
yeah.
seemed to be the... the one who steered that steady ship.
Yeah.
How did it all end up for John Hartfield? When did he die, and when was he recognized as being the person, and I suppose the hero that he was, insofar as he was fighting fascism in his own domain?
So there too, it's a really checkered and in many ways sad history. So he dies in 1968 after having been reinstated in the Academy of Arts about a decade earlier. Before that, he was persona non grata. And his reputation starts to flourish in West Germany, but in East Germany rather, but he's also suffering from ill health. And his work becomes increasingly of interest to the radical left in West Germany. You might have heard of the Baader-Meinhof gang. Mm-hmm. Well, Ulrike Meinhof, who was a journalist, tried to visit and interview Hartfield several times in 1968 before he died. And her car kept running into problems. She kept having flat tires, which was always a bit suspicious. So she never made it across the border. Mm. Hartfield dies in 68. He gets picked up by the 68ers in West Germany in particular. And then again sort of disappears from view. And when I started to work on his montages in the late 90s, it was about 10 years after the Berlin Wall fell, and there was a sense that communism was over. And this work was very much of history. And when I picked it up, it was very interesting. There was a lot of interest in his work by the British, by particularly British Marxists and British leftists from the 60s. But in Germany, which was then unified Germany, a lot of people saw his work with suspicion. They thought that he was just a propagandist, a Stalinist propagandist. And it's only, interestingly enough, there was a retrospective of his work about 10 years ago, and then there's going to be another one, or there is one now, but it's been held because of the pandemic, in Berlin right now.
Right.
But these are the first real investigations of his art since the 1960s. So his work is still seen as very contentious because it is so bound up with a very complicated political history.
Yes, indeed. And finally, Sabina, why did you alight on him as a topic of interest and indeed the subject of your book, Revolutionary Beauty? And you might tell us when it came out and published by who?
Yeah, so the book came out in 2014 and it's published by the University of California Press. I started that work as part of my PhD dissertation when I was doing my PhD at UC Berkeley in California.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the reason I came upon it was I was fascinated by the story of a man who essentially risked his life to make pictures. He was one of the few artists in the 1930s who actually had a platform, an anti-Nazi platform, as it turned out, for this mass circulation magazine. In the Weimar Republic, in Germany, it had a circulation of 500,000. And then in exile, when he was in Prague, it was a circulation of 12,000. So less, but nevertheless, still a very public art. And my parents are German, and they were born and raised during Nazi Germany. And what fascinated me about Hartfield's story, in a sense, it was a counter-narrative of agency.
Yes.
So I grew up with stories of my parents were refugees, they were children, they were threatened by the war, obviously, and they had to flee the Russians. And here was Hartfield, who basically embraced the Russian ideology, the Soviet ideology, and produced actively montages month after month for a public audience, warning everybody about Hitler's presence and evil and his tactics.
Right.
So it was a narrative agency, I think.
Mm-hmm. And finally, you make reference to your own history, and I suppose in a way there are a lot of parallels in some sense between your family's personal history and John Hartfield's own history. Where did you grow up as a result of your parents fleeing Germany?
So my parents, they fled the eastern provinces, and then they voluntarily moved to the United States in the 1950s.
Right.
Set up their family in Southern California, because in a sense it was the exact opposite of war-torn Germany. I grew up on the beach, basically.
Oh, very nice, Sabina.
No, but the thing was, and it was extraordinary, in a lot of ways it was like this golden childhood, but there was always the shadow. There was always the shadow of the war and the losses they sustained. Their families were murdered. And
do you mind me asking, were they Jewish?
No, they weren't. Okay. Since should have clarified that. They weren't. They were lived in the German provinces, and when the Russians came through, they basically murdered the parents, their grandparents, great grandparents. Okay. And my grandmother barely made it out on a train with her two children. Mm-hmm. And my grandfather was a prisoner of war in Russia. So it was a story of destruction. My father also had a very sad story of being a refugee and trying to avoid the Russians. It was always the shadow that was never spoken about. Mm-hmm. It was very clear that my parents had an identity as refugees, but it was a history that they were trying to put behind them. Mm-hmm. And yet, by repressing that history or just telling me the basic outlines, it tended to, in a sense, make it more interesting. But I was always aware of the shadow side to the golden Southern California upbringing. Mm.
Sabina, well, thank you so much for sharing your research and your PhD work and your subsequent wonderful book, Revolutionary Beauty, highlighting the life of this, I suppose, for me, certainly, I was unaware of this artist and the power of his work in relation to montages in the anti-Nazi movement. But I also think, Sabina, listening to you, that there's probably a very good story in your own life and in your own background, and maybe that could be the subject of your next book, which I think would be possibly equally as fascinating.
That's very kind of you to say. My husband keeps encouraging me, but I think, it's a story that so many people had, but maybe it is of interest. Thank you for the encouragement, and also thank you for showing interest.
Not at all. That is a fascinating story, and I think part of it is the fascination is how, as I mentioned, the life of John Hartfield somehow mirrors or parallels your own personal history, and perhaps therein was your initial academic interest, only surmising. So thank you so much for taking our call, Dr. Sabina Kribel. And it was a great pleasure talking to you, and I hope we will catch up again in the future.
My pleasure.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye. And there you were listening to an interview by Dr. Rosari Griffin, who was interviewing Dr. Sabina Kribel, who is an acting head of the History of Art at University College Cork, Ireland, speaking about her book Revolutionary Beauty and the life of artist John Hartfield. This interview can be listened to on the website www.cry104fm.com, and go to podcasts and click on Dr. Rosari Griffin, Presenter Podcasts.